you so much. Awesome. How are we all going this morning?
Great.
Oh, that's really cool. Thank you, Seb. That's great. Yeah, so we've been in Tassie for 2 years. We left, I think our last service here was, what was it? Thanks, Dawn. You're on the ball. 19th of May, 1919, but that's, no, it was 2019. It's been a blur. The last 2 years has been a bit of a blur, and I do lose track of time. So, but I'll have you home before dinner tonight. No, just joking. But yeah, we've been in Tassie for 2 years, and you know, it's been a wonderful journey. We've been well accepted in the church at Dream Builders Church in Smithton, and God's doing some amazing things. And as Dale said, with teenagers, and there's a scripture that in John where Jesus would go out to pray, and he would have to do that every day. So he would get the heart of the Father. And he would say to his disciples, I only do what I see the Father doing. You know, and sometimes, you know, we scratch our head and we cry out to the Lord, you know, what is your will for my life? What's your will for my life? Sometimes we just got to sit in the presence of the Lord and get the heart of God. What is he doing around us? And we just see like there's been a bit of a move of God amongst teenagers. And so, okay, I'm not good with teenagers, but I put my hand up and just saying, Lord, I just got rid of some teenagers. And now you're sending me back. But it's like, yeah, exactly. But it's like, well, you know, we need to be obedient. You want to see a move of God? You want what you're doing blessed by God? Get on board with what God is doing. That's what I think. And so I've made a way to get down into the public high school and the primary school, and I'm mentoring some kids there, and really believe there's going to be a lot of fruit out of that. But I'm just reminded, Malachi just talks about, you know, the spirit of Elijah will bring back the sons and the fathers. You know, so I think that's really important, that God wants to do a move, I know where we are, amongst teenagers. And I know in Tassie, I think the teenagers now from about, 13 to 21, it's one of the highest suicide rates in Australia. And you live down in Tassie, you kind of think, why? It's such a beautiful place, you kind of think, why? But they're the statistics. And so kids are struggling with stuff. They're struggling with self-worth, identity. You know, there's so many things that, you know, that they're struggling with. So we want to make a difference. God wants to make a difference. We partner with the Lord. He can just go like that and just do it like that if he wanted to, but he chose not to. He chose to use you and I. You and I, broken vessels. We just have to be obedient. And we may not have it all together, but we just have to be obedient, and God will work through you. And whatever he's doing, it will be blessed. So get in the presence of God and just find out, what is God doing around me? And whatever God's doing around, jump on board with that. And I'll tell you what, it will be blessed. It'll be really blessed. So this morning I'm going to talk about being a devotional people. So we know the culture of Dream Builders Churches. Who knows what the culture is? What are we trying to build here? Okay. Come on, guys. Help me out here. Come on. I tell people I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you know, this is who we are. We're a devotional people, relational people. We, you know, we're equipped, anointed, and we're missional. That's who we are, you know. And as a Dream Builders church, being a devotional person is so important. I want to just touch on that for the few minutes I have. There's a big clock up there that's ticking down. I hope it doesn't go boom when it hits 00. But I just want to talk a little bit this morning about being a devotional people, because that is our heart. And that's the heart of God, that we would be a devotional people, that, you know, we'd have a relationship with the Lord, that we would play our own part in that relationship that we have with God. So let's just jump straight into the scriptures. It's a well-known verse. You guys would know it quite well. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So let's say, oh, there you go. I've not seen that before. Sorry. Acts 2 verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So this is a well-known scripture. You guys have heard some teaching and preaching from this scripture before. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. All the believers, if we can just put that back up on the screen. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, and to the Lord's Prayer. Can I ask you a question? What's the context of that scripture? Acts chapter 2. What do you know about Acts chapter 2? We're very quiet in here this morning. Absolutely. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in all his fullness. We've got the 120, meeting in the upper room. They're praying. The Holy Spirit gets poured out. These guys get filled with the Spirit. These guys get baptized with the Spirit. These guys are being led by the Spirit. They're being empowered by the Spirit. You look at a guy called Peter. Peter, 50 days prior, when he was standing in that courtyard when Jesus was on trial. What happened? He denied him, the rooster crowed, and he got out of there ASAP. Luke says that he ran off and wept bitterly. What happens on the day of Pentecost? Peter is preaching a message. Boldness is coming out. He's preaching a confrontational message. The Holy Spirit is on him. He's baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's been led by the Holy Spirit. We're told 3,000 people got saved on that one day, in that one service, through that one message. The whole community gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is where we find this text. A community that is filled and is baptized with the Holy Spirit, that is led by the Spirit, that is empowered by the Spirit. What does the Bible say? It says this community, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and the Lord's Supper and prayer. That is a byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a byproduct of being baptized by the Spirit. That is a byproduct of being led by the Spirit. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say some believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It doesn't say some believers devoted themselves to prayer. It doesn't say some believers devoted themselves to the fellowship. It doesn't say the pastor or the pastors devoted themselves to the apostles. Apostles' teaching is just it's the Word of God. They wrote most of the New Testament. It doesn't say the pastors devoted themselves to prayer. Wasn't the connect group leaders, wasn't the worship leaders. What does it say? It says all believers, people who have been impacted and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a byproduct of a Spirit-filled life. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the Word of God. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to a fellowship, meeting together. This wasn't just a once-off a week thing. When they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to prayer, to the Lord's Supper, or I think it says, what did it say there? To meals. That term meals, many commentators believe that was the evening meal. Every day, every evening meal, they were devoting themselves together, sitting under the Word of God. Prayer, fellowship, every day. Not just a once-a-week thing. Every day. And they didn't have Hillsong back then. So they didn't have, we're talking over 3,000 people. Over 3,000 people were devoting themselves to the Word, devoting themselves to prayer, devoting themselves to fellowship. They didn't have a big enough space to fit themselves in, so they met in people's homes. Every day. Every day. Not just a once a week thing or a once a fortnight thing or not just a once a month thing. It was every day. Imagine that. Going to work. Doing a hard day's work, finish a hard day's work. I'm going to get into a connect group. I'm going to get into a fellowship where we're going to study the Word. We're going to pray together. We're going to devote ourselves to one another. We're going to support one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to inspire one another. That's what the Bible says. That's the product and a byproduct of a Spirit-filled life, living the Spirit-filled life. That word devoted in the Greek, it has the idea of pushing through. It means to continue to do something with intense effort. And who knows, reading the word, it's not easy, it's challenging. Who knows, making time to read the word every day, it's challenging. But if we're going to apply this scripture to our lives, they were devoted, which means they had to push through. They had to do this with intense effort because of the challenges, because of the obstacles that they would face. They were devoted. I think of it's probably like a guy who runs a marathon. He's Dale. He's running a marathon. But I think, you know, someone who runs a marathon, they probably get to a point where they hit a wall, but they have to push through that. If they want to complete and finish, they've got to push through that. Get pushed through with intense effort to get to the end. It's no different from us in our own spiritual walk with the Lord. We have to push through when it comes to reading the word. Push through when it comes to prayer. Push through when it comes to meeting together. Push through. It's so important that we're meeting together. You don't know. I tell you now, you don't know the person sitting next to you. You got no idea what they're going through right now. You got no idea what challenges they're facing right now. And it may be having a coffee out in the back, in the cafe there, and someone starts to open up a little bit, and you're there that you can pray. You're there that you can encourage. You play a part. You play a part in being a comfort to others. You play a part to encourage and inspire others. But if we're neglecting the fellowship, how can we play our part? You yourselves might be facing something. You might be get into the house of God where you can be encouraged, where you can be inspired, where someone can pray for you. I'm really big on meeting together and fellowshipping together. That is really our heart. Sharon and I are very relational. We love sitting and having coffee with people. We could do it all day. In fact, there are days where I do it where I get sick of coffee. And that is like, what the, what? I've got to go on the berry blast or whatever it is. It's like, I can't have any more coffee. But, you know, being relational is so important because you just don't know what someone's going through. That person sitting next to you, you don't know what giant they're facing, what challenges they're facing. But you could be the very person who God has placed to sit right next to that person, to be one who could just put a hand on the shoulder to pray, to hear, just to listen, to hear their story. It's very hard to do that when we're not in a fellowship, we're not connecting with one another. But this morning, when it comes to devotional people, I just want to look at our own devotion, in our own devotion, personal devotion with the Lord through the word and through prayer. And I just want to give you a couple of reasons why I think it's just really, really important that we are making time and spending time with the Lord. I'm talking every day. I'm not talking once a week, twice a week. I'm talking every day. It has to be a priority that we are spending time with the Lord every day. Jesus did it. Everything that Jesus did early the next morning, we read that regularly, that he got up and went to an isolated place to pray. He spent time with his Father. It's the same for us. And so I want to give you two reasons why I think, and there's plenty more, but just for the sake of time, I just want to give you a couple of reasons why I think it's so vital and so important that we're making time to spend at Jesus' feet every day. And the first point is this. When we spend time at the feet of Jesus, he anoints our heads with oil. And I'm going to read from Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." So spending time with Jesus allows him to anoint our heads afresh with oil. Now, that whole thing about the anointing, the Holy Spirit's been poured out in fullness. It's poured out on all people. We're all anointed. We have an anointing from God. In the Old Testament, there's only certain people that were anointed, and they were anointed for a purpose. So your prophets, your priests, and your kings were anointed for a purpose. Even those guys who built the tabernacle, they were anointed. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They built the furnishings of the tabernacle. Even those who built the covering of the tabernacle were anointed. People were anointed for a purpose. But here, one of the earliest uses of the word being anointed or anointing one's head came in the vocation of a shepherd. A shepherd would anoint the sheep's head with oil. And you look at Psalm 23, it's in the context of a shepherd and his sheep. So we know that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, he's a shepherd that cares for the sheep. He's a shepherd that guides the sheep. A shepherd that protects the sheep, provides for the sheep. He's affectionate towards the sheep. And then David writes this in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. So I just want to have a look at this anointing my head with oil from a different angle this morning in the context of a shepherd and his sheep. Why would a shepherd back in the day anoint the sheep's head with oil? Good question. I'm glad you asked. The shepherd would have to anoint the sheep's head with oil, in particular in certain seasons, because of bugs, flies, mosquitoes, gnats. And what would happen is bugs would get up the nose, bugs would get into the ears, any kind of holy place, openings, yeah. Bugs would get in. And if you got a fly up the nose, it doesn't just give you a good buzz. But if you got a fly, good on you, John, Dawn. If you got a fly up the nose, they end up laying eggs. We're all looking forward to having lamb for dinner, for lunch today. But flies get up the nose, they lay eggs. Now, flies, eggs, I think they're like, is it like maggots? Yeah, here we go. We're going for a ride here this morning. But what happens is that the maggots would crawl their way up into the brain and they would start irritating the brain, start bringing maybe an infection in the brain. And so it was important for the sheep, for the shepherd to anoint the sheep's head with oil, because the oil was like a repellent, or it was like a film that it stopped the insects from getting up into the nostrils, in the mouth and in the ears. This is what Philip Keller, W. Philip Keller said, and he wrote a book on Psalm 23 in the context of a shepherd. And he said, whenever gnats, mosquitoes and flies attack a flock, the sheep respond by trying to get away from the pest. Some stamp their feet erratically while others race around the pasture in an effort to outrun their tormentors. Some even beat their heads against rocks or trees, desperate for relief. So any sheep that had flies, whatever, up the nose, maggots crawling into the brain, irritating the brain, it would drive the sheep crazy. And we just heard it there, that they would try and run and get away from their tormentors, or they would beat their heads against rocks, or beat their heads against trees. And so David knew, I really believe David knew, the power of the anointing on one's head, on a sheep's head. It gave protection. Listen to Psalm 23, verse 5 again. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. It speaks about God's hospitality. It speaks about God's provision. It also speaks about God's protection. Then you anoint my head with oil. So important that the sheep's head was anointed with oil. Now, they wouldn't just anoint the sheep's head with oil, like do it once a week, or maybe do it every second day. It had to be done every day. Otherwise, the oil lost its kind of power, if that makes sense. It lost its effect. It had to be done every day. The sheep's head had to be anointed with oil every day for that protection against the mosquitoes, the flies, the gnats. It got me thinking about our own walk with the Lord, and how the enemy would want to sow thoughts into our own minds, lay seeds into our own minds that would produce fruit in our own life. Things like worry, anxiety, discouragement. You know, I think this psalm gives us a way where we can sit at the feet of the shepherd and allow the shepherd to anoint our head with oil as a form of protection from the weapons of the enemy. Come on, we all face that, don't we? I face it. You know, I mean, discouragement and things, we all go through that. But the key is, if we're sitting at the feet of the shepherd, if we're spending time with the Lord, not just once a week, not just once a couple of days, I'm talking every day. We need to be getting into that place where we're sitting at the feet of the shepherd and allowing the shepherd to anoint our head with oil, filling our minds with the minds of Christ. Paul said it. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How to renew our mind? It's through the Word of God. It's changing the way we think. It's so important as a devotional people that we're devoted to the Word, that we're devoted to prayer. This is a conversation that we have with the Lord. We need to sit at the presence and in the presence and at the feet of the shepherd. We need to be doing this every day. And if we're doing that every day, the anointing oil comes over our head as a form of protection against those fiery darts of the enemy. I think that's one pretty good reason why we should be going into the sitting at the feet of the shepherd. Do you? Yeah. Really important. And secondly, so important why we should be spending time with the Lord at the feet of Jesus, because he anoints our head with oil. And secondly, he actually ignites a fire within us. Our hearts start to burn within us. So firstly, being a devotional people, making it a priority to spend time with the Lord through the Word and through prayer, he anoints our head with oil. It's a protection from the evil or the arrows of the enemy, the darts of the enemy, the fiery arrows of the enemy. Secondly, when we sit in the presence of the Lord, he ignites a fire in here. And when he ignites a fire in here, we start to walk out his plans and his purpose that he has for us in this world. Think of the guys walking on the road to Emmaus. Think of two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes alongside them. And Jesus asked the question, what are you guys talking about? And this is like, I think it's the third day. I think it's Jesus has been crucified. There's reports that he's just been raised from the dead. And Jesus comes alongside these two disciples. They don't even recognize it's Jesus. They don't even recognize the voice of Jesus. They've been walking with Jesus. They're his disciples. How long, we don't know. But how scary is it that we could be walking along with Jesus and not even know it? That Jesus could be speaking to us and not even know it? That's really scary. We could be walking with Jesus and we don't know. But then they get to this place and they don't know it's Jesus, but then Jesus opens the Word. And this is what the disciples said after Jesus opens the Word and he actually reveals himself to them. He says, this is what the disciples said in Luke 24, verse 32. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explain the scriptures to us? When we get into a place and we sit at the feet of our shepherd, we sit in the feet of Jesus, I tell you, our hearts will start to burn within us. Our hearts will start to burn. A fire will start to ignite and would burn and burn for passion for him and his purposes. Let me tell you another story. It's about a story of a lady who encountered Jesus, and her heart caught fire, passionate about God's heart, the things on God's heart. It's the woman at the well. The woman at the well. Let's have a look at John chapter 4, verse 39. It says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because of what the woman had said. He told me everything I ever did. When they came to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. The woman, many of us know the story of the woman, John chapter 4. Jesus is going to go, I think he's going back to Galilee, but he's going to make a trip, a bit of a detour through Samaria. And imagine the disciples thinking, this is bad news, Jesus, because we talk about escalating racial tension today. It was escalating way back in Jesus' day. Samaritans and Jews, they hated one another. And here's Jesus taking the disciples into like enemy territory. And he gets to a well, Jacob's well. He sends the disciples off, go off in numbers because it's safety in numbers. Jesus stays at the well in the middle of the day. We're talking the heat of the day, 12 o'clock p.m. A lady comes to draw water from a well. Now, for Jesus to see that, and for anyone to see that, that was highly uncommon. You'd never see a woman in the middle of the day draw water from a well, except maybe there was a family emergency and she needed water. But all women, they drew water at the coolest part of the day, either early morning, late night. And it was a social gathering. It's like a social chin wag, you know, time where they can get in and they can talk and chat. And even if you look in Bible days, it was where the men kind of got their brides as well, if that makes sense. So there's this social community that happens early in the morning or late in the evening when the women are drawing water from the well. Here's a woman who comes in the middle of the day. Jesus thinking, well, there's something different about this. Well, there's something not right about this woman and her position or her condition, whatever it is, whatever she's going through, whatever she's facing. And they have a bit of a chat, and she finds out that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Savior. Let's have a look at what the Bible says. Go back a couple of verses to verse 27. He says, just then the disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her, or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everybody. She was a jar dropper. She came with a jar. She was going to fill the jar with water. She dropped the jar. She dropped what she was doing to run back to the village to tell everybody. Now listen, to get an understanding of this woman. We read it through in John chapter 4, but we know the woman, she's had a couple of husbands, and you know, she's been, you know, around. Yes. She's been around. This is why she was kind of coming in the middle of the day. She wasn't accepted, you know, to be part of the community early in the morning or late at night when they drew water. You know, people would have judged her. People would have been talking about her behind her back. She was discarded. She was shunned from the community. She meets Jesus and has a conversation with Jesus, and something triggers the heart. The heart starts to ignite and starts to burn with a passion, because she goes back to the very community that's rejected her. She goes back to the very community that's been talking behind her back. She's going back to a community that they don't want anything to do with her. And she goes and tells them that everything that had happened. She tells them everything about her conversation and her meeting with Jesus. So when we're positioning ourselves to sit at the feet of Jesus, not only is he putting on our heads with oil and there's a protection there, but he sets our hearts on fire to walk out his plan and to walk out his purpose. A lot of us, you know, we spend time, you know, this is a really good example of, you heard the upper room to the marketplace? Upper room to the marketplace? This woman had an upper room experience. And what did she do? Straight to the marketplace. Straight to the marketplace. Upper room marketplace. Upper room marketplace. See, a lot of us have a fear about sharing our testimony. A lot of us have a fear about sharing our story. One, we're worried about what people might think or what people might say. But be inspired and be encouraged by this woman who was rejected and, you know, basically pushed aside. She didn't care what people thought. She didn't care what the community thought. All she knew is that I'd met the Savior of the world. I'm connecting with the Savior of the world. He's lit something in here, and I've just got to go out and tell everybody about it. I tell you, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, he will light your heart on fire. He will light your heart will burn within you, that you will just want to walk out his plans, his purpose. You'll want to walk out what's on his heart. Verse 39, let's have a quick look at John 4, verse 39. But before we do, you know a fire can go out in a relationship? You know a fire can go out in a relationship? Partners, husband, wives, a fire can go out in a relationship. You ever heard the song, You've Lost That Loving Feeling? You ever heard that song? You never close your eyes anymore? when I kiss your lips and there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to. Don't sing, please. Don't sing. But you've lost that loving feeling. You know, we can lose that fire in a relationship with one another. We can also lose that fire in a relationship with the Lord. It can happen. In fact, I think Jesus wrote a letter that's in the book of Revelation that talks about losing your first love. Let's not be a church and a community of faith that have lost is losing our first love. Let's spend time. We've got to be spending time and working on our relationships. We do that, Sharon and I. We've got to spend time working on our relationships with one another. Can't just talk to Sharon once a week. That ain't going to last long. It's the same with the Lord. It's the same with Jesus. We've got to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. We've been doing this every day. Be inspired by the woman at the well. Something ignited in her heart because of the very person who she met. John 4, verse 39. Let's have a look at that. It said, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because of what the woman had said. We read that earlier. But the New King James says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. They believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Can I just say that your testimony is powerful? Don't ever kind of think that your testimony is it's not relevant or it has no power. Your testimony is powerful. You may not have had the testimony of the person sitting next to you, but it is still powerful. What does Revelation say? We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our... Absolutely. Don't downplay your testimony, whether it's insignificant, it's not like the guy sitting next to me. Your testimony is powerful. All you've got to do is share it and let the Holy Spirit do the work. After all, you're not the ones that save people. It's the Holy Spirit. But he wants you to speak. He wants you to share. Be inspired by this woman, the woman at the well. Her heart caught on fire by being with Jesus. And she went and told that whole village got saved. Talk about revival. Talk about revival. It's just stepping out, sharing our testimony. Well, A, getting at the feet of Jesus every day. Be devoted to the word, devoted to prayer. Allow him to anoint your head with oil. Allow him to ignite your heart on fire with passion for his plan, his purposes. Just stepping out and go and tell people about the Savior of the world. And let God do the work. Let him do all the hard work. It's too hard otherwise. Let me just finish. And I don't know, do we have the band back up? If the band comes back up. I wanted to throw a challenge out to you this morning, but also I want to encourage you as well. And just see that the benefits of making time to spend and sit at the feet of our shepherd, like, it's so important. It should be a priority in our lives. You know, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, people who were under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, people who'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, that all of them devoted themselves to the word. They all devoted themselves to prayer, and they all devoted themselves to the fellowship, to one another. And I pray that that is our heart as we move forward. Don't just hear a message and just think, that was a good message. I've got another 35 minutes. Oh. don't just think, oh, that was a good message, and you walk out the door. How often have we done that? Oh, that was a great message. We've gone out for lunch and someone has said, oh, what was church like? It was really good. The preacher was great. What do you talk about? I don't know. How often has that happened? Maybe it's just me when I was growing up. But, you know, Jesus made this statement in Matthew 7, and he said that those who hear the word and those who don't do what it says are like someone who builds their house on sand. It doesn't say those who didn't hear the word. It says those who heard the word but don't do what it says, don't apply it to their life. It's like building their house on sand. The flood will come, the storm will come. Let me tell you, as long as we've got seed time and harvest, as long as we've got summer and winter, the storms are always going to come. And it'll always expose what we're building our lives on. If you're hearing the word and you're not applying it, you're not doing what the word says, you're building your house, you're building your life on sand. But he says, those who hear and those who obey, those who hear and those who apply it to their lives, they're like ones who build their house on a rock. So I want to throw out a challenge to you this morning. Don't just rely on this word to get you through to next Sunday. You need to be coming back every day, tomorrow, Wednesday. Make time. They were devoted. They had to push through intense effort. They had to push through the challenges. There's going to be challenges. You know, you're going to be faced with challenges, but my encouragement, push through. Make sure you're spending time with the Lord every day. Because if you're not, you're not. You're building your house on sand. You're building your life on sand. And that's, I'm just going to say it, that's a dangerous place to be. So Lord, let me just pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that your word is, it's life. It brings light. I thank you that your word brings nourishment. And I just want to pray this morning, Lord, just for anyone who is really struggling with some thoughts, Lord, that the enemy would want to come and just sow these thoughts, negative, discouraging thoughts, thoughts of worry, anxiety, Lord, thoughts to harm and things like that. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just break the power of those thoughts. Lord, I pray for an anointing, just that you would anoint each person's head afresh again, Lord. I pray for those too, Lord, whose hearts, maybe the fire is starting to flicker out. Maybe the fire is no longer what it was. I pray, Lord, for a fresh move of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would ignite our hearts on fire. Lord, that you ignite our hearts, that we would have the passion like this woman had, who despite the fear, despite what people might say, that she overcome that and she just went and told everybody about the very person who she met. I pray for a fire to stir within each and every one of us. I pray for a fire, Lord, it would just burn in our hearts, passion for your purposes. Not for our purposes, but for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Matt. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Great to hear the word of God. I wonder if in the house we could all stand to our feet. We're gonna close out our service with a song right now. I just want to say, anyone online who has got questions about their relationship with the Lord, want to get closer to the Lord, maybe you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, or you just need some steps to help you on your journey of finding Jesus, would you email us at melbourne@dreambuilders.church, melbourne@dreambuilders.church. Email us this week. We'd love to help you. Anyone else in the house that would just like some prayer to help them on their devotional journey with the Lord, Matt, I'm sure, would be happy to pray with you afterwards at the front. But we're going to sing and close out at the end of our service. For those who are staying here, we're just going to have some celebration with our Center for Change program, some people staging up, and our resident for the month and so forth. That's going to be happening for everyone in the house. But after this song, we're going to be closing out our live feed, and then we're going to be moving into that part for us staying in the house. Thanks. Why don't you lead us?